Have you ever met the man or woman of your dreams? Or have you ever met somebody really famous? Perhaps a football player, a politician, or even a television personality? Have you ever felt absolutely great because you met someone who made your day just perfect? Many moons ago, at the tender age of 16, I got my very first job at a leading supermarket in Dublin. My job? Collecting empty shopping trolleys from the car park and returning them to the shop to be used by the next customer. And after that, I collected more trolleys and returned them for more new customers. A few months after I started at Superquin, the novelty wore off and the job, well, the job became rather dull. But then one day, a rather familiar-looking, tall, blonde lady approached me and asked if I could help her with a trolley that seemed to have a mind of its own. So, in the grand tradition of Superquin's customer service, I took her fully laden trolley and walked her out to the car park. On the way out, I noticed lots of people said hello to her, some of them saying, "Hi, Olivia," while others said, "Hello, Miss Tracy." I glanced again at this very attractive lady in my company and quickly realized I was in the company of a very famous supermodel who once held the title of Miss Ireland. Trying desperately to contain my excitement, I asked the obvious question. And when I got the answer that my ears wanted to hear, my rather mundane job as a trolley collector suddenly became one of the best jobs in the world. There I was in the company of one of Ireland's top supermodels. And if I don't mind saying so, she actually took a bit of an interest in me. Well, at least the 16-year-old Micheál thought so. Our conversation lasted 3, maybe 5 minutes. But I have no doubt that for those few minutes, my face looked like a little boy on Christmas morning. In fact, the excitement didn't stop there. By the time the day had finished, I think the entire shop knew that I had met Olivia Tracy. And in the days and weeks that followed, I marveled at having met this woman, even if it was only for a few moments. Could you then imagine the joy and excitement that Simeon experienced when he came face to face with the Saviour of the world? He had perhaps waited almost his entire life for this moment. And when he finally saw the baby Jesus, possibly just for a few moments, he knew that his life was now complete. Meeting this little child wasn't just a chance encounter for Simeon. The Holy Spirit had planned it from the very beginning and ensured that their paths would cross at just the right time. So who was Simeon? Well, like the shepherds and the wise men who came to see Jesus shortly after he was born, not much is actually written about Simeon. In fact, Simeon is probably the most obscure character from the Christmas story. Mention 3 wise men in conversation and people will usually know who you're talking about. Mention Simeon and people will say, "Who?" The thing is, we know very little about this man Simeon and his encounter with Jesus. In fact, it's only recorded in Luke's Gospel. And apart from those 10 verses, he's never mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. So it begs the question, what do we know about Simeon? Well, what we do know is that because all Scripture is inspired by God, the small part played by Simeon is by no means insignificant. As for Simeon himself, we know that he trusted God and was living his life as God had intended. He was familiar with God's word and knew that the Scriptures pointed to Jesus. So how did he meet Jesus? Well, we pick up the story in verse 21 if you want to look with me. It says, "On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. One thing we often overlook is the fact that Jesus was born into a Jewish family and kept all the Jewish laws blamelessly. And between verses 21 and 24, we get a glimpse of three Jewish ceremonies. Circumcision, performed on the eighth day for all male children. Purification from childbirth for Mary. And finally, the consecration of the firstborn in recognition that the firstborn son belongs to the Lord. In the book of Exodus, the Lord told Moses that every firstborn son should be consecrated to the Lord. So, Joseph and Mary wrapped up their new baby and made their way from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, to the temple in Jerusalem, where Simeon lived. Here they presented their firstborn son to the Lord and made a sacrifice for Mary's purification, as the law of Moses required. Let's look again at what Luke says about Simeon, starting from verses 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts." Now, perhaps Simeon didn't plan to visit the temple that day, but somehow the Holy Spirit, if you like, tapped him on the shoulder and just guided him there. Simeon had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he got a good look at God's chosen one. The Holy Spirit, again, if you like, arranged a backstage pass for Simeon, and by now their encounter was imminent. What seemed like an ordinary, everyday situation was, in fact, the supernatural work of the Spirit. This is how God works. He works in the lives of ordinary people in seemingly ordinary situations. When the old man Simeon saw the baby Jesus cradled in his mother's arms, for him it was as if the light had been suddenly turned on. He saw with his very own eyes the Messiah that people for generations had been reading about in the scriptures. Look with me again from verses 28 to 30. "Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" Simeon could see in this very small baby something quite special, the light that would reveal God to all nations. This little baby would drive away the darkness that surrounds the world because of sin and bring the light of forgiveness, hope, and eternal life to all who trust in him. More important, Simeon delights at seeing Jesus because he knows that his life is now complete. Unlike the shepherds and the wise men who went on their merry way after seeing Jesus, Simeon is moved by the Spirit and says something very significant. He praises God for his own salvation, but he also recognized that the message of Jesus is for the Jews and for the Gentiles, something the religious leaders of the time would have disputed. Simeon knew the scriptures, and quoting from Isaiah 49, he knew that the message of Jesus was the whole world, was for the whole world, something that God had always intended. Of course, Simeon couldn't see the full picture. He didn't know what we know. He didn't know how Jesus fulfilled God's plan, but he knew that God would keep his promise to save the world, and Simeon rejoiced in that. But it begs the question, how could Simeon rejoice if Jesus hadn't yet died for the sins of the world? Many years ago, my father took my siblings and I to the circus, which had come to Kilbarrack, where I grew up in Dublin. my older brother arrived, or my older brother and I arrived first, and the very trusting lady at the ticket kiosk allowed us entry on the basis that we told her that our father would soon arrive with payment. And when my father arrived, he paid for the two of us, and then he paid for himself and my two sisters that were with him. He also gave the lady payment for my mother, whom he said would be along just a little bit later. And when my mother arrived, she was simply waved on through. In the same way, Jesus was the Savior for all who had gone before him and all who would come afterwards. The Old Testament, from start to finish, pointed to Jesus. And generations of Israelites had trusted that God's promise would be fulfilled. As Simeon holds this little baby in his arms, he not only sees before him the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, he also sees God's promise that he would send a rescuer to save the world from sin. A few years ago, I went to see a movie in the cinema called The Bucket List. Has anybody seen it? It tells the story of two old men played by Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. The two men are dying with cancer and only have a few months to live. So they write out a list of things that they would like to see and do before they die, or before they kick the bucket, as they might say in America. For these two old men, they feel that their lives are incomplete because they haven't taken a trip around the world, driven around a racetrack at high speed, or parachuted out of a plane. I think if we're all honest, at times, we sometimes feel that our lives are incomplete if we haven't done all of those things or lived our lives in the fast lane. But Simeon, on the other hand, reminds us that as Christians, our lives are already complete if we have seen Jesus and have placed our trust in him. In our case, we have seen Jesus in the Gospels, and we know how God carried out his plan to save the world through Jesus. Before Simeon saw Jesus, he overcame his fear of death by holding on to the promise that the Lord or the Holy Spirit had given him, that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now he held the Lord's Christ in his arms. He could face death not with fear, but with peace. God kept his promise to allow him to see Christ before he had died. Now he had peace, that Christ would surely save him. Simeon didn't plead with God for a few more days or weeks on earth. He trusted God and confidently looked forward to spending eternity with him. After hearing Simeon, we learn that Mary and Joseph are still coming to terms with the significance of this little baby. Look with me in verse 35. Or 33, it says, "The child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him." Joseph and Mary don't just dismiss Simeon as a foolish old man. They trust God and believe everything that Simeon says about Jesus is true. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, verse 34, it says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So what exactly did Simeon say to Mary? This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. How people respond to Jesus and his message will determine their destiny. Many of his contemporaries receive the message of Jesus and are saved, but the religious community, by and large, can't bring themselves to believe that Jesus can be God's Messiah. Many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day spoke out against him because underneath their outward showing of self-righteousness, he revealed the evil thoughts of their hearts. I don't think much has changed in 2,000 years. People still reject the gospel message because today it tells us that behind the niceness of our outward appearance, inside we are wickedly sinful people. Some people reject Jesus because he makes us feel uncomfortable about what we're really like inside, while other people reject Jesus because they believe they're going to heaven anyway because of their good works. Finally, Simeon says to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Through the Holy Spirit, Simeon can see the deep anguish that Mary will feel as her son is rejected by the nation's leaders and ultimately crucified on the cross. For many people, the end of December marks an anticlimax that Christmas is over. In January, the darkest and most depressing month of the year is almost upon us. The post-Christmas blues are about to begin, the credit cards will soon arrive, and there's nothing really to look forward to after Christmas. However, as Christians, Simeon's encounter with Jesus tells us that we have everything to look forward to. The story of Simeon's encounter with Christ is part of the great news that God sent his only son, Jesus, into the world to pay the price for our sins so that we might have everlasting life in his name. Some people feel that their lives would be complete if they had a better job, earned more money, and perhaps had a second house in the country. Simeon's encounter with Jesus teaches us that if we are trusting in and living for Jesus each and every day and putting him first in our lives, then our lives are already complete, and we too can praise him for his provision, just as Simeon did.